Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. What a great day to be alive, thank God. Another opportunity to share the word, and hopefully someone will be blessed and take it, spread it. Good morning, mothers and daughters around the world. Let's go in this morning and see where my co-host is this morning. Two co-hosts, Jessia and Deborah.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain.
Good job.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm determined to be all that I can be. You know how that's the commercial for the Army. I am determined to be the best that I can be and be all that I can be. All is well. I really cannot and won't complain. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good to me. Because complaining is not going to get it. You got to be about
Ain't going to do a thing.
Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning. How is everybody? All is well.
Very good. How was your week? We got a quick. Before we get into that, let's give God honor first. You want to get into prayer this morning?
Me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for picking us up this morning. You didn't have to do it, but you did. You didn't have to do it, Lord, but you did. And we say thank you. We say thank you for our able limbs and our being in our right mind and our senses, Lord. It might not be as sharp as they used to be, but I thank you. I take what I got and work with it. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Lord, we'd ask that you would touch each and every heart that will hear this message today or in the future, that you will go into their heart and do a transformation so they may come out smelling like gold, Lord, and give you glory for the work that you have done in their life, that you will give them what they need to press on and see what the end going to be, Lord. Help us as you promised so we may live. Lord, our hope is in you, Lord. We trust and believe that you're going to do those things that you said in your word, Lord. Help us do what you call us to do so we may forever be mindful to give you praise and glory. We thank you for lifting us up. We thank you for bringing a word today. We thank you for using us. We thank you for not cutting a robbery to you. We thank you for looking over our faults and seeing our needs, Lord. And I ask right now that you would touch each and every person right now. They may come and get a word from the Lord today, that you may have everybody here today. They would be attentive, not just listening, but attentive to hear the word. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord. We praise you because you're worthy to be praised. Thank you again, Lord. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's what I want to. Let's get the praise and thanks, mothers and daughters out there. We have an exciting show for you today. Going to enjoy it. I sit back and, you know, as usual, I come up in the mornings and I say, you know, okay, Holy Spirit, what are we talking about today? And I'll wait. And it's just amazing. Of course, you know, right within the hour I get the topic. And so this is scripted at all. We don't do that. What we do is just go with whatever the Holy Spirit tells us to talk about, get the topic, and then we go from there. This morning, our topic is mothers nurture your families. And when we're talking about mothers nurturing your family, we're talking about taking care home first. If every mother took care of their home and nurtured their children, see, we would heal the world one family at a time without having to worry about somebody else's family. We pray and we bind together and hope for the very best and pray for overall families. But you've got to concentrate on the children that God has placed in your care. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm sorry, Deborah, I cut you off there a little bit before I get into what the Lord is talking to me about. You were telling me briefly, did you have a good week last week?
Absolutely, absolutely. All is well.
Oh, very good. Very good. And Cynthia, I know you had a week because we talked back and forth, and I talked to you too this week, Deborah. You know, I just thank God for you ladies. We've been on here for a long time, and on Saturday mornings we come on, mothers and daughters, they get what they need out of that, out of whatever the message is, and then they go forth, and I hear back from them, you know, it blessed me, it helped me, I knew someone, another mother and daughter that needed help, can I refer them? It's just been a powerful spiritual exchange between mothers and daughters for the last 11 years, and I thank God for it. So this morning I'm going to be talking about mothers nurture your family, and I'm going to do my piece, and then I'll come back and pick you ladies up, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Again, good morning. I'm Dr. Bessie, and I'm here on the roundtables, Blog Talk roundtables with mothers and daughters around the world. You know, when I sit back and I think about the topic this morning, when we're talking about mothers and daughters nurturing your family, you know, it reminded me of the prayer of Jabez, where Jabez, you know, people said it was a prayer that was a selfish prayer. You know, why would you want to pray a selfish prayer? And for a long time, you know, you would think, well, yeah, it may be selfish, but, you know, in reality, it's not, because we're individuals, because God is expecting us, each person, to be accountable. We are accountable for us. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. How do we make all that happen? How do we make that happen? You know, your children are placed, mothers, in your care. We have a responsibility to nurture those children, to find out what is the purpose for their life, to ask God for guidance, the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you on how to nurture those children. And if we focus on our children, just think, let's just do a neighborhood. Let's just look in our minds and just look in a neighborhood and say, okay, every mother has their children in the house, nurturing their children. When I say nurture, you're loving them, cultivating them, cherishing them, encouraging them, fostering them, and helping them to develop, and also supporting them. When you put that kind of love and energy into your children, when they walk outside of that door and enter into the streets of their communities, they're going to be able to share those things with their neighbors. So now you got 20 mothers in a community, just a street, 10 houses on each side. Can you imagine what a loving community that would be? Because you are nurturing your children. You are nurturing them from a place of love, peace, wisdom, and understanding. But see, mother, before you can do that, you have to know that. You have to be that. So that's why we come on Saturday mornings. Just to give you some tidbits of a word, what God said, what God expected from us as mothers. We are expected to nurture the children. We are expected to help them grow up. The male comes into the family, the father figure, to provide for the family. Personally, I see him as a person that, you know, all the provisions are there. He goes out and he kills and he brings it back in and makes sure that there's food on the table. But our job as mothers is to nurture that home, to set the tone. Mothers, you have the power of influence. You set the tone for the family. If you are out of order, then the whole family's out of order. And so that's why we do mother and daughter roundtables. Not necessarily that I wanted to do it, but I was spiritually chosen to do it. And when I decided I didn't want to do it, it wasn't working for me. It didn't work well for me at all until I came back and settled myself down to do what God asked me to do. We have a risk in our hands. He wants to use you, mother, to be able to help someone else. But before you can do that, you got to go to God. You got to seek God out. You got to find out what's your role. What's your purpose? Why did he send you here on this earth? Are you accomplishing what you're supposed to accomplish? Like the prayer of Jabez, you know, some people may say, oh, it's a selfish prayer. But you could only do you. You cannot change another person. I was speaking to a mother this week, and she was talking about two-year-old and how she wants her two-year-old to be raised differently from the way her mother raised her. And she admit that she was definitely a troubled teenager. She was smart, top of her class. And she figured, well, if I'm smart and I'm doing all these things that some of the other children are not doing and they get all the privileges, then why can't I get the privileges? Because I'm smart, because I'm doing all the right things. And you're not letting me go out with my friends. Or, you know, when I go, I got to come back in by 9 and they're out to 11 or 12. You know, why am I punished when they're not punished and they're not even making the grades? And see, she said in her mind, she thought that they wasn't treating her right and that they wanted to control her. She said, when I grow up, I'm going to leave this house and I'm never coming back to this little small town. And she left and went and lived in New York and traveled around the world. Then when it was all said and done, she got married, had her child, and now she's right back in that same little town. She made a full circle because, see, she realized where she was wasn't so bad after all. And then now she has a two-year-old. And she says, you know, I don't want to control her. And I was letting her know, you can't control her. Humans are not born on this earth to be controlled. We are mothers, but we are not a control factor in their life. 3-month-old baby, and you ask her, you trying to feed her peas, and she don't want it. She may not can talk to you, but she's shaking her head no. Now you're talking about 3 months old. She spits it right back out in your face, and you determine you're going to give it back to her again, and she does it again, and she keeps saying, no, I don't like that. It does, no, 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 no. She's talking to you. So why would you keep giving her peas? Find out what she likes. Cultivate that. So when you're cultivating your children, look at the divine purpose in their life. Just watch them. They will demonstrate personalities, certain talents. You'll see an exceptional something in them that just shines. Look at that. Work with that. They're trying to tell you, this is who I am. This is who I've sent. I was sent to be. Help them develop in that area and build that relationship with your daughter or your son to the point where you have mutual respect. And out of mutual respect comes love. And when you get the love, then you can negotiate. You can agree, because you're never going to be able to control another human. God didn't design us that way. He designed us to work together. But, you know, I know sometimes when you're a mother, you know, you want to say, because I said so. And that should be the final answer. I'm an only child, and my mother and I were very, very close. But it came to a point when she made her, when I would just really push her to the wall because the answers was not coming the way that I wanted them to come. I would pressure her, and finally she would use that on me. And I said, well, mother, why? Why not? She said, because I said so. Now, I knew when she said that, that was the final answer. She didn't want me to challenge her anymore. She didn't want me to ask anymore because she didn't know what to say. So she decided, you know what? That's my final answer. And then she would just close her mouth, and if she's sitting, she would turn her head and look the other way, like, okay, I'm done. And then, you know, and I'm like, well, it's not fair, but, you know, I was raised in the old school. You know, that's time for you to go on about your business and go somewhere, sit down. But I would come back later on, and I would try to, as they say, go through the back door to get another attempt at pleading my case. And finally, she would come around and say, you know what? Because I'm like, it's not fair. So when we get to the daughter, I said to my daughter, I'm going to listen. Whatever you have to say to me, we're going to listen. I'm going to listen. We're going to talk. We're going to work it out. Doesn't mean I'm always going to agree with you, but I will listen to everything that you have to say, and we will have that honest conversation. Now she's a grown lady with two sons. The young lady was saying this week, she said, you know, I can see now just a glimpse of what my mother went through, because instead of me helping other families, because she works with other families, I need to work on my own family. I need to concentrate on my daughter. I can't allow her. I thought I could just allow her to just do whatever she wanted to do and make her mistakes. And I said, you're creating a monster. You start in that too. If you're going to allow her to make decisions, when she gets 13, don't try to change it. It's too late. So you need to set the boundaries, create the game plan. This is what we're going to do. Mommy can't allow you to do that. Explain to her why. She understands you, even at two. So mothers, like I'm saying today, family, we have got to pull our children in. This is a time. COVID-19 is not just a game. The virus is here. The virus is running rampant to and fro all over the place. It's the enemy. God wants your children in the house. He wants everybody in the house. It's time for mothers to nurture their families. If there's ever a time for mothers to nurture, this is the time. I don't care if your child family meeting. It's time. Bring those grandchildren in. It's time. Young people are looking at God and saying, why would God allow this to happen? He's not a good God. You have to explain to your children what's going on. Reunite the family. Have family dinner. Have family conversations. Don't just be on TikTok and Instagram. I'm not saying those things are wrong, but, you know, they are not the way that you're going to nurture and raise your children. This is the time for you to say, put your phone down. We're going to have family dinner. We're going to have discussions. I'm talking about an honest conversation. What are you feeling? How are you feeling about what you're going through now, that you're not in school, that you can't go out with your friends? Find out what's really going on in their heart. Young people are committing suicide because they see it as robbery. That something has come along and stole their joy. It must be a mean God. Find out what's going on with your daughters, the daughter that God may choose to bring another human through, the daughter that will birth your grandchildren. Make sure that she is mentally and physically ready to be a mother. And you got to start when she's young. God don't choose every woman to birth a human, but she may be chosen. And if she's chosen, is she ready? Is she ready to be a mother? Have you ever talked to her about what it means to be a mother, the role of a mother, the responsibility of a mother, the caring, the nurturing of a mother? Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. Yes, it's a hard role to play, and you may not get all of it, but you can get a lot of it by your family. It's all about nurturing your children, and if we all do what is needed in our own house, every house, then that means we raise up a whole new generation. We raise up a group of people with a different mindset. We realize that we really are one people. And we're all connected by love. So, your family, when they enter into the outer world, outside of that house and that domain, they're going to spread the love, the joy, the peace that you have nurtured into them to the world. And that's how we're going to raise up a whole new generation. That's how we're going to come together. But as long as we are looking at somebody else's family, as long as we're pointing at somebody else's children, as long as we're blaming someone else for the reason for this season, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss your own children. It's not your role to judge. It's not your role to blame. Your role is to focus on nurturing your own household. The virtuous woman, she was the woman that took care of her family so well that even her husband, when he walked outside in the community, the men looked at him and admired him because they knew that his household was in order. He looked well when he walked out. Her children were well dressed. She was the merchant. She went out and bought. She went out and bought the land and prepared for the family. She cooked, she fed, she sewed. She was a businesswoman. You can be all of that, but you can't take your eyes off your children. God gave them to us for a reason, to nurture them, prepare them, so when you're gone, they can carry on in the same spirit. Because mothers, when you miss it with your daughters, you miss it with your granddaughters and your grandsons. Because your daughter won't know how to raise your granddaughter. And generations are becoming weaker and weaker because of the lack of knowledge. And God says the lack of knowledge, the people will perish. So each generation, as they get weaker and weaker, we are losing the whole purpose and plan of being here on this earth. Go home, churches closed down. I don't want anybody talking to my people but me right now. I want the attention of all of my children. So you must listen. You must go to God. You have to find good counsel. Because this is a time that God is trying to get your attention. Don't miss it. Your family is at stake. It's about your entire family and four generations. So, Mother, when you wear that crown of glory that God has placed on you to be a mother, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. A lot of responsibility. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And you're called or you're chosen. And if you're chosen to be a mother, that's a lot of responsibility. You cannot take that lightly because you're playing a role in Mother Earth. The mother is the nurturer. The mother is the only one. Your mother, and believe you me, that every woman, even if you didn't birth a human into this earth, you have in you a nurturing spirit to nurture, to care for others. God has placed that in you. That's why, you know, I have a friend that she says, I never had a child. I always wanted to have a child. I said, but you know what? God has chosen you to be the mother of many. Look at the variety of students that you have in your classroom, all nationality. You nurture them. They love you. You love them. See, you can't get past the nurturing in a woman. No, everyone is not chosen to bring a human into the earth. And there's no question, like, why? I don't know. God gets to choose. This is his world, his game plan. We get to play in it. So when you get your role, you be the best person you can be in that role that he's chosen you to play. And once we learn how to nurture our family, we can love on other families. I remember when I was a child, it used to be the thing where they would tell you, sleep around your own door before you go to somebody else's door. How are you going to have trash all around your door and you can't even step out, but you're going to go and take your broom to somebody else's house and sweep off their walkway and all across their porch? And they were like, well, really? You're going to do that for Mary when you can't even get in your door for the trash? See, that's that pride. Pretending, hypocritical, idealistic things that you have that you want people to believe that you're someone that you're not, playing the game. See, you don't have to play the game if you just be who you really are. Your light will shine. And when your light shines, when you walk out as a mother, virtuous theme, they will see. They will see who you are. And they will believe. You don't have to say a word. All you have to do is be. Just be. Because what's in you will definitely come out of you one way or the other. It'll come out of your mouth, come out of your attitude. It'll come out the way you look at people. It'll come out of the way you walk. So if you got godly love in you, you got peace in you, joy, forgiveness, self-control, you will shine like a star. People will say, I don't know what it is about you, but when you enter the room, there's just something about you. I get that a lot. And I tell them, that's the Holy Spirit. Because when I go somewhere, I said, Holy Spirit, you go before me. I don't want to be seen. Bessie is not the person they need to see because I'm not all that. But with you, they will see that you live in me. See you. Because that's what they're going to believe. When they see, they'll believe. And when they see, they'll ask, what is it that you're doing? And then you can share. You can share your goodness. You can share the goodness of God. How Jesus became your Lord and Savior, and now that you are portraying the love of Christ to others. You don't have to walk around with a Bible, and you don't have to have a bullhorn that's shouting out to people. Just let the love of Christ and God shine through your Holy Spirit. That's all you got to do. And when you do that, your children will see it because they know you. You can pretend to people outside of your household, but your children, they know you. They know the real you, the one that comes in the house, close the door, evil mother. But yet when you open that door and go out, you just, oh, so sweet and all this, that. And everybody else know because your light is not shining. Come on now. But your children know you. And it's hard to nurture children when they're looking at you and knowing that you're being hypocritical. They're not going to believe anything that you say. That's why I say you have to nurture your family first. It's like being on a plane. They tell you, you know, when that mask drops, put it on yourself first and then do your children. Because if you got small children, they can't reach up and get it. You don't put it on yourself first and you pass out, well, all of you are gone. to put it on you and then get your children. So you've got to, mother. You got to reach back and get your daughters, pull them up, your grandchildren, your sons, and your husband is going to be there. Because when he see that you have the house in order, he's with you. But your husband is not going to get in the middle of a mess, a mother and daughter mess. If there's a mother and daughter and you are upsetting the whole family, son and the son are going to just dismiss themselves. They'll find something to do. If they have to go in the yard, work on the car, close the door, look at the sports, they're going to do something to get out of that energy because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to be about it because there's nothing they can do. They know that it's out of their control. And, mother, you're responsible for that change. Just ask for forgiveness. Apologize. For what, Dr. Fletcher? Doesn't matter. I have a mother and daughter. They're not getting along. I tell the mother, apologize to her. Well, why should I have to apologize? I didn't do anything wrong. You're the mother. Once you apologize, what it does, it just softens the tone. It melts that ice from around her. You set the example. Your daughter don't have enough wisdom and understanding to set the example for you. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. B. Well, I don't know if you were on the phone with us last night, but I know you weren't. I'm just being facetious here. Because that was, I'm teaching the course this term, Codependent No More. And I know an audience might be thinking, well, what codependency have to do with that? That's that controlling mother that's out of control, trying to control everything and everyone around her, and she's out of order. And so it was just, you were pretty much saying verbatim of what the discussion that we had in our class discussion last night, because, you know, and all of the signs are there when a woman and husband get together and decide that they're going to get married and whatnot. The signs are there as to what you're working with on both people. People can be real upfront, or they can be the real person don't show up until you're married. And so this one particular story we were talking about last night, the husband actually, on the honeymoon, he actually disappeared and didn't come back to 6 a.m., and obviously he was under the influence. And she goes on in the story, and it's all about her. It's all about I, what I have done. And so long story short is that she loses respect for her husband, and so now she's not able to do what she needs to do because she's constantly blaming him for all of the issues in the marriage. And she don't feel that she can win with her children. She don't feel that she can win with her husband. It's because she always gives in, if you will. But the point of the story is that she made it about her instead of making it about the family. And so when she wasn't doing her part, then she was able to blame everybody else for not being able to do her part because she was depressed, if you will, because she didn't feel that she was loved, number one. But it goes back to loving thy neighbor as thou love thyself. You wouldn't put up with that from you. And this is the key point. She said that she searched for her husband carefully. She never meant to marry an alcoholic because her father was an alcoholic. So that goes to that cycle thing where we go and we marry people just like the people that have been in our lives and her father. And so she literally married a man just like her father. And he checked out emotionally because she was always trying to control him, not letting him be who he was, and trying to control the entire situation without the love part. So So she was very stoic, and she was very always complaining. And the scripture tells us, and this is scripture, he tells us that a man rather lives on the rooftop than be in the house with a woman that nags. And so it all goes back to the codependency thing. You learn it from your mother, mostly if she's been absent. You learn to check out emotionally. If she was there and she was overbearing and controlling, you pick up that spirit and you continue that spirit. And so it's in a learning. It's that virtuous woman that you talked about. You have to learn to be a virtuous woman. And that means seeking wisdom and knowledge from the Holy Spirit, because he is the person that to give you the insight of what a virtuous woman really is. Yeah, you can see some women and try to model them, but when you don't really have the understanding of what that is, then you're trying to, it's like trying to put a bicycle together without the instructions. You may be able to figure it out, but it will be less painful if you just sat down and read the Word of God, so you can know how to be that virtuous woman he has called us to be, so we can be not in control of our family, but be that person that takes situations and know how to make situation within the family that the family feel loved. And so when that piece is missing, that nurturing piece is missing because you're trying to control it, it's not going to work well for you. And so it's all about codependency and learning how to break that cycle. And so thank you for allowing me to share. That's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and because that's what people do. They become codependent on each other, and that really feels fulfills a negative relationship and a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
I was trying to do something here. Just trying to get Deborah on. Hey, Deborah.
Hi, I'm here.
Okay. What's your take on that?
I tell you, I was listening and a couple of things came to mind, but before I say that, I want to just I looked up in Google what nurture means, and it says a short definition: care for and encourage the growth or development of. And then it goes to it says having nourishing relationship with your child is to raise your child in a caring, loving, trusting, and empathetic home. There are several things that promote a nourishing relationship. Communication: it is important to allow children to express their feelings and to validate their feelings. And so, and let me finish. It says a nourishing skill is a critical life for parents and caregivers. Increase the health and well-being of your children by improving your nourishing skills. Nourishing is listed as one of the protective factors, and when present, it can increase the health and well-being of the children. And so I was just thinking, because, you know, for me, you know, I left early, and so I didn't get to the point where I was able to tell my mama what I didn't like and tell her what I liked, and then roll my eyes and go in my room and close my door. And, you know, we had one phone upstairs, and I wasn't even allowed to use the phone yet, so I hadn't been able to experience that. So I didn't get that, because I left before the lesson started, because I thought that it was better on the other side of the grass, that it was greener. So I didn't get that lesson. The streets had to teach me. So now I'm, like you say, I'm 40. No, I ain't 40. I'm much older than 40. I am trying to get some stuff that I didn't get, you know, when she say, Deborah, you shouldn't do that, or then the reason why. You shouldn't do that because, and I believe that if we would just stop at the because I said so and put something else in the blank, because the reason why I say this is because, and break it down and explain, like, you know, you don't have to be saying, oh, the mama, what I say, we got a whole different generation now. They smarter than us with the computers. They learn how to do all that tech savvy stuff, and we still trying to learn. They more advanced than when we were young, and so you got to be able to give it to them on that level. And so you just can't say, because I said so.
cognitive. They want to know what that means. And so because it's not good for you to hang out, example, to girls this fast and girls this dating and you're 12 years old. Those girls are out of your equal. They're 15. They shouldn't be having boys come. You know, and break it down. And the results of that is when they have relations and they cross the line, they bring in babies in the world at 15. And now you got to sacrifice your whole life and you got to start taking care of another human being. And you missed the opportunity to be young. You missed the opportunity to grow up and have all the things that you really want to have and be free with it. And you break it down to them. Or sometimes you tell them, like, you can go out there and be having sex and pick up something that you didn't take with you and you can't get rid of. You know? You break it down. It's kind of wild because they at that stage now. Not because I said so. That don't tell me nothing. And so I'm going to look for an answer somewhere else. Either you're going to teach me in the house or I'm going to learn next door. There's always a little boy peeping out the window waiting on the mama to go to work. There's always a little boy, yes, ma'am, but be the same one coming around the back trying to get the girl. It's always one right around the neighborhood. And so if you don't tell about that, about the birds and the bees, they're not birds and the bees at this point. It's sex. You give it to an age appropriate, but ain't the bird and what bees? What did the bird and the bee do? I ain't figured it out yet about the birds and the bees, you know? And so conversation, communication is key. And let me back up a little bit because the first thing I really wanted to say was that I believe that God is able to do anything. He said, I give you the child, the children, as a gift. And if you read my manual on raising kids, the B-I-B-L-E, you'll know how to raise them. I didn't give you the gift without instructions on how to put it together. I didn't give you the gift without giving you some instructions on how to make it work. I didn't give you the gift with no packets included with the little pamphlet. And I didn't box it up and send it to you like that. I gave you the instruction before the gift even came. Because the Bible was way before the gift even came. And so he says, hey, get in my word. And if you want to learn some wisdom, get in the book of Proverbs. It's going to teach you not only how to deal with the girls, it's going to teach you how to deal with the boys. It's going to teach you how to deal with people. It's going to teach you how to deal with life circumstances. It's going to teach you a whole lot. He said, I gave you the gift for the kids, and I gave you a manual before the gift even came. I sent it express to you, overnight delivery. It was in your mail before it was in your womb. And so if you would just read, Lord, how am I supposed to raise this child? I don't know nothing about it. She's probably 12 now. 12 years later, I'm trying to figure out still how I'm going to do this thing. God is saying, first of all, seek me. Seek my word. So ask God, cleanse my heart. Search me and see if there's anything that's not within me. You know, mother said, Lord, I don't mean no harm, but I know that sometimes I got a double face. I know that I'm nice on the outside of the door. But when I come in, I start fucking it. The house ain't clean, and I'm just off the chain out the street and down the yard. I know, God. So help me, Lord, to be who you called me to be, so I may better assist and nourish the kids that you gave me a gift. Help me to read that word that you thought expressed to me about how to raise the gift that you gave me 12 years ago. Help me to be the woman you called me to be, not what the world wants me to be, not what Sally Sue and Sister Terrence and all them in the church. Help me be who you called me to be. And when the things ain't working right, Lord, I'll come back and I'll give them to you. If the child ain't working right, Lord, I did my part. You won't hold me accountable. And so God is saying, come back to your first love to me. Read my word. Ask me to cleanse your heart. If there's anything moving forward, Lord, I repent. I ain't always been what I need to be. Lord, I need you to clean my heart. Give me a new heart. Transform me. Transform me. Not my neighbor, not my kid. Start with me first. Transform me so I may be effective in the house, so I may be able to nourish and to guide and to polish this gift up that you gave me and get this gift ready for the world. Start with me, Lord, where I've fallen short. Teach me how. Now, even though I done had the baby and the gift for a long time, teach me how to raise the thing that you gift me with, because it wasn't no mistake. This is not your daddy, you know, he tricked me and he, no. This is a gift from God. And so, Lord, help me cherish and nourish your gift. I have no clue how to do this thing called nourishing, how to be loving and empathetic and caring and responsible. I've been short. I've been acting like I had it all going on, God. But I really just don't know how to be a parent, and I've been a parent for a long time now. It ain't too late to say, hey, I need to take the crash course one-on-one, go back to the Word, ask God to help you. Say, Lord, truth be told, I've been in this thing a long time, but I have the slightest idea how to be effective. What I'm saying ain't working, Lord. What I'm doing ain't working, Lord. Help me go back to the beginning. Give me a fresh start and let me start over. And once you can get it in your heart, then you could get you could distribute it, or you could pass it on. You could nourish, but you gotta have it in your heart to be able to nourish, to be able to love, and to be able to care. Because the Bible says whatever's in your heart gonna come out. So if there's stuff coming out that's not lining up. Stuff that's coming out this night, stuff that's coming out. There's a time that I had to pause one day and ask myself and say, you know, do you hear some of the stuff that you're saying? And I had to check what I was saying. And I said, Lord, your words say, if I say it, it's in me. Remove anything that's in me that's not like you, so I may better be effective and be the best version of me that you called me to be. So I had to admit that there was something in the heart that wasn't quite lined up with the Word, and when I spoke, it was coming out. And so I had to go back to the Creator, the one that created me, and say, there's something wrong with my heart. You didn't make me like this, but some way down the line, it got in me, and it comes out. And I lose my effectiveness. I lose my opportunity to minister and pass it on. So I'm asking you, the Creator of me, to cleanse me, wash me, make me whole, and renew my heart so I may get back on course and do the thing that you called me to do, is to nourish and to care for the gift that you gave me. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me opportunity. And when I fall, if I don't get it right, Lord, forgive me in advance and keep it transparent. God already knows. He already knows we were going to do what we did before we did it. Ain't no military secret how we do what we do. God has said, hey, you home, everybody in the house, take an hour. Say, this is your day. This is your day, and you sit and you do one-on-one, and you start learning some stuff, and you start listening. And remember, don't provoke the kids to evil. And kids, remember, don't be disrespectful. Honor your parents that your days may be long. And I believe that's why some kids are leaving earlier in their life, because disrespect of the parents. They died off early, and God said, you gonna honor, you out of here. God is calling us to be, okay, he say honor. Honor your parents. Don't be disrespecting and bad-mouthing and putting your mouth on your parents down the street with the kids and the other ones on the block and talking about my mama this and she made me, my mom, your mama, she could have gave you up. Thank God that she didn't. I'm hoping some kids are listening. She could have closed her legs. Thank God that she didn't. She thought it was not robbery to take that pain and to birth you and bring you to the world and do the best
Amen.
You can. So, Mom, we know that you're trying. We know that you ain't got it all together. Ain't none of us got it together. But go back to the Creator and ask him to help you read that manual that he gave you on how to teach those kids and nourish those kids. Just ask God to help you because he's willing to help you. Thank you for letting me share. Amen.
All right.
I was trying to sit there and be quiet. I was trying to be quiet on the couch. Thank you, Lord.
Well, he wouldn't let
Dr.
you.
Dr. Fletcher, be on my
this morning. You preach
Amen.
This morning. So,
and I wanted to share, Dr. Fletcher, if you don't mind. I just let the audience know it's real what Deborah has just said, because when I became a mother, I didn't want to be a mother. I had always said I never wanted children, and I had to learn how to be a mother because I was raised without my mother. And I had a grandmother, but she was that controlling. She wasn't a nurturer. She was a controller. And so I didn't have that peace. I was very stoic myself. I didn't have that nurturing peace. And it took me years of taking psychology classes and reading the Word of God in order to bring the two together. Because you got to know the mind of man and you have to know the Word of God in order to you can be able to be that mother, that nurturing mother, because you got to know when to apply what. And so for me, It took me years. The first 10 years of my children's lives, it wasn't, I was that controller. They were going to do what I told them to do just because I told them to do it. And it wasn't until I started to really get into the Word of God and really learn what I was learning in the field of psychology in order to know when things was inappropriate, when things wasn't part of nurturing but controlling. You have to know the difference. And when you don't know the difference, you will just go in full speed on what you think you know. And when it's not working for you, children start to be rebellious, children start to shut down. You're doing something wrong when your children are either checking out, shutting down, or in either one of those circumstances, you are not doing something. And you are responsible for seeking help for your woes. Don't make it about you. What can I do better to be that nurturing mother, that mother, as Dr. Fletcher called from Titus, that virtuous woman? How can, and it's in Proverbs as well, how can I be that virtuous woman? Thank you for allowing me to share that, Dr. B.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right now, mothers and daughters, the message is loud and clear. It's not a preachy-preachy. It's compassion. It's time. This is no time to play. I was listening to T.D. Jakes yesterday. I was just thumbing through, and he made a point. If this is not the time now to seek God, when will you seek God? If you don't see young people sleeping on the streets, people that are losing their jobs, people in their cars lined up for miles trying to go get milk and bread, trying to find food in America, he said. In America. Come on. In America, when there's plenty of food. We've always had plenty. And now we are scrambling around trying to find food. Businesses are going out that's never going to come back. They're never going to be able to recruit, get back together. People have lost their livelihoods. And yet you got bread to eat. You got a place to lay your head. You inside, out of the hot heat, the wind and the rain. Complain about small things. That's why I said, Lord, I look at this place and I said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I'm inside. I got food to eat. I got a car, I can go and get it, come back. But it's a shame, and I say it, it's a shame that we can help countries around the world, but we're not taking, there's no such thing as shortage of food. There's plenty of food. It's just how we're distributing the food. Farmers are throwing away tens and millions of pounds of potatoes in Iowa. Farmers are just letting out gallons, hundreds and thousands of gallons of milk because someone is not attending to what they're supposed to attend to. There's plenty of food trading on the wrong thing. The enemy got us concentrating on the virus and the fight on this and the fight on that, and nobody's going out to get the food. Nobody's going to get the food. The farmers are saying we have to throw it away. And I commend, there was a young man, he got a bunch of his friends, and they started getting trucks and going out and getting the potatoes and getting the milk and getting the things that to keep the farmers from having to throw it away and distributing it. What happened to our big wheels, 18-wheel trucks? Send them out, and you won't have to put so many people in them for death and waiting on funerals and frozen 18-wheelers. We're not taking care of our family. We're not taking care of our family. And that comes from the United States. We're not taking care of our family. How dare we take care of everybody else and let your children starve? said it and I mean it. We feed everybody else. Now it's time to feed your own. Where's the food? Where's the resources? Where's the money? God is tired, and he's not going to let it go on much longer. Watch and see. He's not. Ladies, it's a good show. And we're just going to focus on our families. We're going to pray for our families as we pray for the world and every other human being. And that's all we can do. We can't pray for them, but we can pray with them.
Amen.
And that God will give us his grace and mercy, and that he will send his angels to lead and guide us in the Holy Spirit and help us to get through this. Because I do believe this too will pass. But when we look back at it, we're going to see how we could have done it better. Any last comments?
No, I think we pretty much said it. Not for me.
All right. Well, I tell you, ladies, I'm going to tell you this. Audience, go to mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org this week, and we of the Mother and Daughter Bonding magazine. I hope that you enjoy it. Give me some comments on it. And if you have your mother and daughter story testimony that you want to share with us, by all means, go to info@mdbn.org. Go to info and send us a brief description of your story. Ladies, I'm telling you, I slept yesterday like you wouldn't believe. I felt like I had birthed a baby. So I'll talk to you ladies about that off the air. But mothers and daughters out there, we love you. We hope that you got this message. Please just stop and think. God, help me help my family. Bless me so that I can be a blessing to my family. And if you do that to your family, then you and your family can be a blessing to another family. I'll be right back.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, thank you for the show. It's been wonderful. Audience, we'll catch you next week at 10 a.m. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, audience.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye, audience. Love you, ladies. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.